And I believe that's what the resurrection story is. Certainly the Lord Jesus Christ was the grain of wheat that fell to the ground. He fell to the ground that he might die, that he might not abide alone, but that he might bear fruit. It's a wonderful thing when we consider the resurrection story, for certainly this is our hope of glory. And it's the eternal hope that causes us to go on day by day. It's the life for the sinner, and it's the strength and the hope for the believer. So this morning, as we take up this wheat, perhaps we could take it from the Gospel of Matthew, in the Word of God, Matthew chapter 28. I'd like to begin reading with perhaps the two previous verses of Matthew 27, in order to get a contrast to the world and to our God. Matthew 27 and verse 65, and Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as ye can. And so they went and made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. And in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen. And as he said, come and see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you unto Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. I trust this morning as we look into the Word of God, that we might consider in the finest of wheat the gospel. For the gospel story is this, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. You remember, as we've been looking at the Psalms and searching out the Word of Truth, we've been looking at personal exercises of heart. And surely before anybody can enter into many of the exercises that the psalmist knew, he has to enter into this exercise. He has to have some things open. He has to have understanding. So I'd like to look this morning at the scene, first of all, that we have before us, what the world has tried to do to the tomb. You know, here there were men that came before Pilate in that day. And they said, let's set a watch. Let's seal the tomb. Let's make it sure. And Pilate said, okay, you've got a watch. Pilate was the representative of the then known world government. Surely he stood as that which was of the world. And so he said, go ahead. You have a watch. Seal the tomb. Make it sure. And so that's just exactly what they did. And I can't help but think this morning of the multitude of work that goes on in the world to seal the tomb. Many people are interested in looking at Christ in a tomb. And for their own hearts, they want to do it, because if Christ is in a tomb, they'll never have to face Christ in judgment. But I say to you, the Word of God has taught us he is risen. You can seal the tomb with religion. And many of you might have done it in your lifetime. You might have been interested in religion rather than in the person of Jesus Christ. I recall a few weeks back of talking to a man of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he said to me, oh, Ray, what's the difference? He says, there's Muhammad, there's Shinto, there's Buddha, and all the rest of them. And he said, they're all religions, and you're trying to give me Christianity, Christianity's just another religion. And I said, oh, is it? If that's all it is to you, then you've missed the point entirely, and you're just like a Buddhist or a Shinto or a Mohammedan. But I said to those who know Christ, there comes a difference between Christianity and religions of the world. For Calvary's cross and the tomb marks the difference. Calvary marks the place where Christ died and he entered into death. Mohammed died, Shinto died, Buddha died, they all died. But there's a difference. A Mohammedan will say, you Christians, what have you got? You got an empty tomb. I can take you to the place where Buddha's buried or Muhammad's buried and I can show you a tomb. And I say, amen. That's the difference between Christianity and Mohammedism or the religions of the world. You got a dead man and I've got a living Christ. And unless he lives in your heart this morning, you've got a dead religion. I don't care what name you want to call yourself by. You can pick the denominations of the world or the religion of the world and call yourself by anyone. But if you haven't Christ, you're headed for hell. You're dead. I'd like to show you this morning, beloved, through His Word, that there's life in a look at the crucified one. There's no life in the Baptist church. There's no life in the Methodist church. There's no life in the Church of Rome. There's no life in any denomination or church on this scene. But there's life in Christ. When something happens, and it must happen to you in a personal way. I remember asking a man a few weeks ago, what's going to happen to you when you die? You've got an affliction, it could take you in a moment. Oh, he said, I can't know that. I said, can't you? Can you believe men? You often pick up the paper and you believe what men say, don't you? Yes, I do. Well, here's the Word of God. Can you believe that? The witness of God is greater. He's given us the greatest witness. It comes from one who is truth. And one who cannot lie. And so now when the world has endeavored to seal the tomb, Christ wanted us to have a look inside. He wanted something to open for us. And so, you know, he took, as our brother reminded us this morning, a little earthquake and one angel. Now I read that the angel sat on a stone. And that says to my own heart, the power of God was there in that angel and just said, just try to shut it. I opened it, nobody's going to shut it. It's open for all who are willing to look in. And he's seeking this morning honest lookers. He's seeking for those who are honest in heart and are willing this morning to sit down and say, Lord, I want the truth of the resurrection. Show it to me. The truth began with a stone rolled away. And an angel sitting upon that stone. And he said, here, have a look inside. There first of all was an open tomb. An open tomb that you and I might know in a full assurance that Christ was taken off the cross and put in that tomb. And that tomb was sealed, but that he came out. And claimed that he made to be resurrected. Well, you see, when the Lord Jesus walked here, he claimed to be the I Am. That was the eternal God. That was the all-sufficient one. That was the Jehovah. And he fulfilled all the claims that he made. In the Gospel of John, he set it forth in a sevenfold full place. And he said, this is what I'll be. To any of you who are willing to believe it, he said, I'm the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. Will you come? He said, I'm bread for you all eternity. He said, I'm the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You want life? And life, it's in the Son. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. There is a way into heaven's glory. It's through the door, Christ Jesus. It was through a tomb. That was through Calvary in the tomb. That's where he had to go in order that the door would be opened. He said, I'm the door. But then he said, I'm the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. Don't you see, if we need the comfort of a shepherd today, he'll be that for us. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And he said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Then he brought him to that last point, and he said, I'm the vine. The Lord Jesus Christ set before all men the I Ams in these beautiful pictures. But you know, he said one place in the Gospel of John, these words, unless ye believe that I am, ye'll die in your sins. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ to your heart? Is he breath? Is he light? Is he life? Is he shepherd? Is he resurrection? Unless you believe that he's the eternal God, the I Am, you'll die in your sin. That stone was rolled away from the tomb to give us an understanding that the one who said, I am resurrection and life, could prove to be just what he said he was. He proved it while he walked here, and he called forth the dead, but he proved it in that day when he came out of that tomb by himself. He was the essence of life. And being the essence of life, he could enter into death and be the victor over death. But he was victor for himself, and he'll be victor for you. Once you believe it, life will be your portion. And we might be caused to pass through death, but it'll only be a vehicle that takes us into his presence for eternal glory. He was the essence of life. Oh, that's how he could take the judgment of God. Believer, have you ever seen that burnt, or have you ever seen that altar of sacrifice? That brazen altar in the tabernacle, you remember that it was wood, but it was covered over with copper. It was covered over with brass. And then there were fires burnt in that, sacrifices made time after time after time. And yet the altar stood. It wasn't consumed. How could it come to pass? The copper was able to carry away the heat. It radiates heat in a fast way. It could endure so that the wood that was beneath it could not be consumed. I remember one day back at camp of tearing down part of a room to fix a kitchen in the place. And we tore some paneling off a chimney that was there. And I saw how the smoke came out and through the cracks in the mortar. And it got out that wood, but because there was no oxygen, it didn't burn. It charred it, but it couldn't burn. And my mind went immediately to that altar. It went immediately to Christ, the one who could endure the judgments of God. And yet it couldn't consume it. He was holy. He was God's sacrifice for sin. When he went to the tomb couldn't hold him. He was life. It couldn't bind him. He was resurrection. And that's why the stone was rolled away. Take a look. It's just as though he said, is my word true or is it not true? Can I do all I claim to do or can I not do it? And he did every bit that he claimed to do. The stone was rolled away. And when we had a look inside, we had an open tomb and the angel keeping it open. No man has ever been able to shut that tomb. That stood for resurrection and life. No government could shut it. None could shut it. He opened it and set his son at his right hand eternally. But you know, there, when we meet him at the open tomb, and we see him as the I Am, the resurrected Lord. then it does something to our heart. And that's what the angels announced to them in that day. There needs to be an open heart. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus which was crucified. Once we look into the open tomb, and our hearts are touched with the power that was there, then our hearts become open and fear is taken away. You know, we read that perfect love casteth out fear. We were talking the other day about death and why some men fear death. And men fear death because of a remembrance of sin. There's the remembrance of sin in this life. And they fear it because there'll be the remembrance of it in judgment eternally. We were taken to the rich man in hell this morning. And the rich man in hell didn't want any friends. He didn't want any company. He wanted to stay alone because his misery was so great. Men laugh today. How many of them I've heard say, I have a lot of company in hell. No. You won't want any company. The rich man didn't want any. He didn't even want his five brethren there. He said, Abraham, send Lazarus back that he might warn them. Oh, you can mock the tomb. You can laugh at resurrection. You can go against the Word of God, but it'll never change it. The Word is going to stand sure forever. Heaven and earth will pass away, he said, but my word shall not pass away. Not one jot or one tittle of his word is going to be changed. My, what a difference. The day we see Christ as a risen Lord. For you see, that's how salvation comes. That's when our heart is open, when we see a risen Lord. Not a risen man, a risen Lord. Lazarus was a risen man, but Christ caused him to arise. Christ was the risen Lord. He brought himself from the grave. He said, this is the reason that the Father loves me. I have the power to lay down my life and the power to take it up again. And he took it up again that you and I might have life and that we might have it abundantly. Would you take him this morning at his word? Let him open your heart and fear the spell. Fella said to me the other day, don't you have any fear of dying? I said, well, I'm not pushing it. I'm not pushing it, but I have no fear. Because I have been taught through the Word of God that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, which is far better. Paul could say, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Oh, those words became very precious to me about 9 months, a year ago. It was a dear lady in our coffee hour who had never known the Lord as a Savior. She first met when we headed back in the Livingstons, who are here with you now in her home. She lived across the street and she came into that coffee hour. She came for several years at first questioning, arguing everything. And then she was struck down with an affliction. And I went to see her in the hospital, and these were her words to me. She said, Ray, I do not know if I shall have to die. But she said, I can say with Paul, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. A week later, the Lord gave her gain. He took her to be with himself. Fear was gone. Fear was dispelled. Why? She had seen a risen Lord, one who walked and lived in power and glory, and she sought to be in that glory. She sought it as gain. Do you seek it as gain this morning? Oh, I've gotten sick lately. Sick at heart. And at this so-called Christianity that so many have taken up in a light way. that we're Christians on Sunday when we go to church, and we go and live the rest of the way we want. Paul never lived a Christian life like that. He said, for me to live is Christ. That's the life lived out. That's Christ. And that's what he wanted out of us. The fruit from his death and his resurrection ought to be the fruit of that life, and not of this life. And that life indeed is a life that's gained. And that's a life that'll be a blessing to many when our hearts are open and we seek Christ. First we see an empty tomb. Then we see he's risen. We listen to his word. And then we have our eyes open. The angel said, come. See the place where the Lord lay. That invitation to come is a lovely invitation. It's an invitation that's given all through the Word of God. It's an invitation, you see, that had to speak just a little bit before to an open heart. It speaks to both mind and heart. Some people say, oh, we don't need to have our minds touched, we need our hearts touched. Let me tell you, God through Isaiah wanted to touch their mind. He said, come now, let's reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said, sit down, think it over, let's reason together. You see, we need our minds touched, but that's not the end. The end is when he gets into my heart. Not my blood pump, my very being. That's salvation, and that's the life of Christ when it touches a life like that. God's not looking for professing Christians today. There's thousands of them who are naming that name in that sense. He's looking for lives with hearts having been opened and now eyes that are open. Remember, he says in Ephesians 5, walk circumspectly. You know what I mean? I mean, as you walk, look around. The days are evil. Redeem them. Christian friend, that's the way he wants us to walk. We've been reminded at how short the time is. And it's very short, and we've seen how evil the days are. And how evil they're getting. And that's the promise. In the last day, grievous times shall come. And there are grievous times that are upon us. Are you redeeming the time? Are you? Oh, when we've been to an open tomb. We had our hearts opened and our eyes opened. We've seen the place where he lay. He's not there anymore. He's risen. Oh, then surely that Spirit of God begins to move on us in a real way. When we've been touched like that, then we can take up Paul's verse. I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Oh, that's the life of Christ lived out when we've seen an open tomb and seen it empty and had fear dispelled, fear of sin, fear of the judgment of sin eternally. Has your fear been removed? Has your heart been touched by God? Have you believed? I want to take a verse, Romans 10 and 9. It puts these three things right into it, you see. It brings us right to the end of what we have here. First of all, he said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus as Lord. You see, we have to see that Christ is Lord. He had to be more than mere man. He had to be. Somebody presented me with one of their so-called Bibles here some time ago. I knew what was in it. And I took it up and I said, this is not a translation. This is a perversion. It's called a New World Translation. It's a perversion. It's a lie. It came right from the Prince of Liars. And everywhere you have a verse setting forth the deity of Jesus Christ, they've done the best they can do to take it away.
If Christ was mere man, we may as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you might die. But mere man couldn't have done the things he did. If Christ was created being, then anywhere in the ages to come he could fall, even as Lucifer fell and some of the angels with it. But because Christ is the Lord, because Christ is the I Am, because Christ is Jehovah, he is unfailable. And what he has secured through Calvary and the tomb has been secured forever. You'll never be able to add to it or take from it. And this is the Savior I present this morning. Christ the Lord. That's what Paul was talking about. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord, but believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, we're back to resurrection again, you see. That's the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Why? It's with the heart man believeth to righteousness, but it's with the mouth that confession is made to salvation. And I want to say, whether you're saved or unsaved this morning, he does require that of your mouth. In order to get saved, you'll have to confess Jesus is Lord. Back in the city of Davenport, there was a young man. There's a brother that worked with him a good many years. His name was David Lawrence. He's now with the Lord. And David used to sit and talk to him time after time, and he'd just shake his head. I know. But he still didn't have the assurance of salvation. And he really wanted it. One day down to the plant, he heard all the guys arguing. They were arguing about who Christ was. Whether he was man or whether he was angel or what he was. He said, I listened to him for a while and I said, you guys are all crazy. Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is God. And then he said, hey, I'm saved! Oh, you see. God got it home to his heart. Has he got it home to yours? Could you walk out this morning seeing a resurrected Lord, knowing at Calvary he bore your sin? He bore them unto a place uninhabited, never to be remembered anymore. If you believe, if you trust him. Oh, the angels had a message. Listen. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. And there shall you see him. Lo, I have told you. Go quickly and tell. If you've heard the message of the gospel this morning and you've looked into an empty tomb and you see that tomb was empty because it was a glorified Lord that was crucified and buried there and death couldn't hold him. If you've seen that and your heart's been touched and you believe it, go tell it. We hear so much today about, well, he's a silent Christian. I don't see how a Christian can be silent. I really don't. He said, out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaketh. We've got a message, the message of a risen Lord. What's wrong with us that in these days when there are so many perishing, so many headed for a hell, that we keep our mouths shut? Go and tell it. There's confidence in telling it, first of all. The moment those words come out of my mouth, I learn, hey, that's in my heart. I believe it. I'm saved. That's how he gives us the assurance of that salvation that's ours. And if we don't do it and we walk along, we become just like a tree or a bush that's stagnated. It isn't giving off the life and the responsibility of the work that it's to do. Oh, you see, a tree takes in water. And it gives off oxygen. People need oxygen to live. Those that are dead need Christ to live. He ought to be given off in a fragrance through our life. and he ought to be given off through those lips. That tongue of ours, it ought to be that which would glorify him. Oh, that this morning, if there are some of you in our audience who have never seen the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, that you'd bow your heart right now, right where you sit, and say to him, Lord, it's true. I am a sinner ready to perish. But I've had a look inside the tomb. I know why Christ died. He died for my sins. And I believe he lives for my life and my power. You know, beloved, if your heart would be touched by that today, and you would believe those words as you confessed them to him, salvation would be your portion. You could walk out these doors as a man set free, the burden of sin lifted, and no judgment to face. Fear God. His perfect love will cast it out. Will you receive the Son of God's love this morning? He said, as many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. Would you believe? You must do one of two things this morning. You'll either believe or not believe. If you trust him, eternal life is your portion. And if you walk out the door without believing, and you were struck down the moment you got out beyond it, you'd wake up in hell. We might never meet again. And I'd never like it to be said that Ray Rowley never gave you a chance. He didn't make the way plain. God's word's been plain. And he gives an invitation. He says, come. And that's one you have to respond to. His invitation is RSVP. I want an answer. Will you come? Come to him this morning. Not to a religion. To a person. Come to himself, beloved. To Jesus Christ. Oh, how I'd like to come down and take you by the hand and lead you. But I have no power. No power. But there is one with power. The one who overcame death. We saw the empty tomb. He has the power to save them that come unto God by him. Save to the uttermost them that come unto God by him. Will you come this morning, Christian? As you leave these doors, could you leave it with a purpose of heart to go and tell? To go and tell. Tell the message of a resurrected Lord. You don't have to be some fancy preacher. It's the simple message of the gospel that saves, not fancy words. Will you tell them? Tell them. That's the Easter story. That's the resurrection story. And open to, open hearts, open eyes, and an open mouth to proclaim his glory. May God help us to fulfill his desires. I wonder if we couldn't sing at number 176. I'd like to just sing one verse of it, please. Shall we stand and sing the first verse? And as we sing the chorus, I'd like you to do this. Instead of singing, oh, believe it, I want you to sing, if you really believe it, I believe it. Shall we stand and sing, and then we'll pray.
There's a story ever new. Wonderful and true.
And the best thing you can do is believe it. It will calm your troubled breast. It will give you peace and rest. And we dwell the world of rest. Oh, believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Christ has died upon the tree. That from sin I might be free. I believe it. I believe it. Jesus died for you and me.
Our Father, as we're here before you in the closing moments of this meeting, we know that God the Spirit has been speaking. And so, Father, we ask that He might probe the hearts through His own work, that some might indeed believe and be saved. We remember that you taught us that the Spirit came into the world to convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, of sin, because they believe not on me. O God, we pray that this sin of unbelief would be remedied in our hearts this morning, that we might see Him, the one who loved us and gave Himself for us, a risen, glorified Lord. Thank you for this time together in your word this morning, Father, and we pray it's a blessing and a challenge to each of our hearts. In Jesus' name.